This program is brought to you by the Genesis Communications Network, a world leader in talk radio since 1998. Visit GCNlive.com today.
Welcome in another hour of Doug Steffens' Good Day program. As you probably know, I'm also a farmer, and I love to share information about my farm and how you can benefit from the lessons I've learned and from other successful farm stories as well. So in this hour, I have a special preview of this weekend's American Family Farmer program to help you with your meal planning, backyard farming, whatever. It's the Good Day Farm Show, the American Family Farmer. 7 after the hour now, it's time for another visit with the American Family Farmer program. I'm Doug Steffen, an American Family Farmer and a broadcaster. My website for my farm is Eastley Farm, E-A-S-T-L-E-I-G-H, eastleyfarm.com. It's kind of interesting. This past weekend on my farm, we had Christmas in July. A lot of Christmas things going on, Christmas music, Christmas items. It was kind of a potpourri of things. And among the surprises for me was a visit from a lady who listens to this program and other programs that I do, my Monday through Friday Good Day program, up in, I think, Hooksett, New Hampshire is where she was from, Terry Seavey. She brought her whole family down to the farm, and they had ice cream. I did a couple of tours on the farm myself this weekend with folks that came, mostly families. They want to see the cows. They want to feed the cows. They want to touch the cows. And that's part of the agritourism which I'm involved with there. And hopefully you're doing some of the same things on your farm. If you're in a relatively suburban area where you can attract an audience, if you're out in real rural Nebraska, not likely that that will happen. But in many places, it's a way for you to enhance the value and the visibility of your farm. The first portion of our American Family Farmer each week is a focus on the news for this particular sector, if you will, that affects us. I start with a story from the Ag Department, Agriculture Department, working now with attorneys general in 31 states to address the anti-competitive markets in agriculture and the related industry of food shopping, because the, as always is the case, whenever there's consolidation and monopolies, higher prices follow, fewer choices for consumers, and that's what's going on right now. So this agriculture competition, this is an announcement that was made. The Competition Council is involved in this, and they partner with a couple of other groups in the federal government. So what's going to happen is all the states and the USDA are going to put this partnership together with the Center for State and Foreign. There's so many damn agencies, you know, and I knew there's all. But we all know that we're getting screwed. Basically, that's the bottom line here. So they've put together this task force to deal with what we all know, and that is that the supermarkets are not acting in our best interests. And from the farmer's point of view, that is presented in the way we get paid for what we do. Imagine a bag of corn that's been growing for 75 days, and you pick 2 ears off of that stalk of corn, and you put it in a bag or in a box, and maybe there are 100 ears of corn in that box. And I say this because this is what I know is going on with supermarkets around here. They pay you $20 for a bag, 100 ears of corn, that they're going to sell for $1 an ear at this time of year. So that's 80 cents, if you get $1 for an ear of corn, 80 cents to the supermarket and 20 cents to the farmer who grew it. Does that feel like it makes sense? Feel like it's good? Doesn't feel good to me. These grocery stores are getting away with these big chains, the 4 or 5 huge chains that operate most of the grocery stores in this country, from whom, like it or not, most of us get the bottom, you know, the foundation to our food anyway. Instead of, you know, we go and there are more and more people that are visiting local farms, get as much as they can, but often they don't grow enough. because the popularity is what it is. They don't have enough land, whatever it is. So gouging is going on in grocery retail markets, in the meat department, the poultry department, the vegetable department. The agricultural markets are not getting what they need to get. So the government is going to investigate whatever that's going to mean. At least it calls attention to things. There are more regulations that are being proposed by the White House. How about this for an idea there, boys and girls in the Biden administration? Stop allowing so many of these the coercive types of combinations of businesses that consolidate. Let's stop that, especially in the agricultural sector where the huge factory farms have developed where you're going to milk hundreds if not thousands of cows to survive. That's wrong. But yet it's set into action by lack of government action and in some cases bad government action. All right, next item of interest here is how droids are going to be in your future. AI, artificial intelligence. So let's look at, we're talking about corn, so let's look at corn as one of the three major cereal crops in our country and in the world. Very important. Farmers utilizing in our country pretty much every tool and technique to maximize the yields, especially in areas where the weather, either there's too much rain, there's not enough. So here's something that has come to my attention. There is a new way of figuring out when the corn is ready. It isn't you going out into the cornfield and checking it out. It's sending a bot out called a phenobot, trying to get more efficient corn planting, corn identity. It's been developed in North Carolina State University and Iowa State University. It's automated technology capable of accurately measuring the angle of leaves on corn stalks. And that way they can tell what stage the ear of corn is in and whether it's ready to be picked or not. So you don't have to send anybody because they're now automatic. We all know that. You've got machines on your farm probably. You sell a lot of sweet corn. They pick the corn. So we have a robot that tells you when, by looking around in the field, when you can pick the corn. You send something else to what are we going to do? Are we ever going to even touch this stuff again? Are these the droids that you're looking for? If you're planting a lot of vegetables, they may be. There's a couple of different companies. One of them is called AngleNet. It's hardware and software together that go out. Robotic device called a phenobot moves out into the field on four wheels, steers manually, is narrow enough to navigate between a 30-inch. I have my corn's at 30 inches. A lot of people put it at 36, but anyway, they can make one of these bots to go between a 30-inch couple of rows of corn to check it out. The American family farmer, Doug Steffen, with an announcement encouraging you to call 800-419-3684. That's 800-419-DOUG. Call that number now. Be one of the first 10 callers, and you will get two free nights in Las Vegas. There's no hitch. There's nothing other than be the right in the first 10 callers, and you win two free nights in Vegas. What's wrong with that deal? 800-419-DOUG, 800-419-3684. It's not really a contest. It's a way for you to be familiar. If you've never been in Vegas, it's a way to get you there. And 541 Travels, they specialize in this sort of trip. So help yourself. No, as I said, no purchase necessary. 800-419-3684. Doug Steffen here to talk to you about All Natural Balance 7. So if you have heartburn, can't eat food you like, you're getting tired of feeling this way, you need Balance 7. It improves the acid-alkaline balance in your body. The right pH balance helps increase energy and memory, and it helps you unlock your immune system. It also allows better hydration, so the nourishment you take into your body gets to where it's supposed to go. And you can eat all the things that you heretofore hadn't been able to eat and enjoy. Now, now you can try it. Get $15 off your order, free shipping as well. Use the name Doug when you call 800-793-9039. That's 800-793-9039. Use Doug. You will feel just fabulous. Get a free bottle of My Smooth Skin as well. So call to balance your body. Use Balance 7. Use the name Doug at 800-793-9039. Doug Steffen here, calling all travelers. How many of you have ever been to Las Vegas? How many of you would love to go to Las Vegas? How about going to Las Vegas two nights free? I have your attention, so right now be one of the first 10 callers right this minute. Call 800-419-3684. Two free nights in Las Vegas. That's it. First 10 callers, get on board. Two free nights in Las Vegas. It's the easiest thing ever, right? First 10 callers to call 800-419-DOUG. And two nights in fabulous Las Vegas is yours. No questions. You don't need to be caller 29. You can be in the first group of 10 or a dozen, and you're on board. 800-419-DOUG. 800-419-3684. We've traveled the world to find a good deal. You've got it now. With 541 Travels and the Doug Steffen Good Day Program. 800-419-DOUG. Back on the American Family Farmer, Doug Steffen, with a focus on sweet corn again. This is the corn season, so a lot of the news has to do with the growing and harvesting of corn. This is destined for your freezer, maybe for the canned food aisle. The amount of corn available has been decreasing over the last three decades. There's a study out, research done at the University of Illinois, analyzing this last 30 years, three decades. And they went to, they started with 20,000 sweet corn fields across four states. And so over the 30 years, the data tracked things like yield and acres planted and the different kinds of hybrids. And over this period of time, processing sweet corn trends have seen an overall reduction in acres planted and a reduction in production. So the study looks at trends independent of causes. Researchers' findings earlier suggest there's a direct link to climate change. So those of you who are into or onto the climate change message, the corn growers of America are feeling, and this is another angle, I don't know whether I think this is, two and two is still four. I believe there are changes going on and that it is affecting the crops in our country, no matter what the crops are, and thus your choices. In the supermarket or at the farm or wherever you buy your produce. The Department of Agriculture and its research service is looking at rain, looking at drought. I mean, you don't have to be a genius to look around and see what's going on, frankly. And so then we get into the discussion and debate, should farmers be brought in to this? Because it is very, it's polarizing. There's no question in my mind that we have a difference. We have a change, and it's going on and will continue to go on. Whether it's caused by man or whether it's caused by Mother Nature, I tend to think it's a combination of both. I've not gone off the deep end. I don't want an electric tractor. I don't want an electric truck. But I do want to have as much vegetable and access to food as I can possibly get. So the question is climate change changing what we have available to eat? And the answer is yes, it is, frankly. And so what do we do about it is the thing. Do we plant more corn? Do we find better places to grow the corn? We have land in our country that has been used for growing corn for decades, for years, for centuries. That's no longer any good to grow corn. So where's the replacement? That's the question. And there really isn't a good answer to it yet. So perhaps we'll keep following this as well. Doug Steffen here, focusing on growing in the news portion. Up next, we're going to be talking to an eighth-generation family farmer here on the American Family Farmer this week. of the hour. This is the American Family Farmer. Doug Stephan here with a lady named Zoe Kent, who just so happens to be in the eighth generation of a family farm. It's Kent Farms in Ohio. It's a great corn area as much as anything else. Let's hear about the history of your farm and what the generations have done with the land over the years.
Yes, so in the 1820s, eight generations ago, I had some family move here. They were some of the first people to live in this small town. I like to joke that we just then never left. Mm-hmm. But our roots run deep here. Where I grew up at, we are the eighth generation on where I live now. Down the road, we are the sixth generation on this farm. The farm has ebbed and flowed in what we produce. Right now, we're currently a corn and beans operation, but we have raised cows. We have bailed hay. We've done all of the things over the years.
When you look back at your childhood and connect with your father and perhaps your grandfather who was there, hopefully, when you were growing up, what did they like best about being at this farm and working on the farm?
So my dad, he always gets choked up when he talks about this, which he's not a very emotional guy, but he just loves the, you know, you put in all of this physical work, you have all this delayed gratification because it takes a long time to see a return on your investment. You know, it's not a job where you just pick up a check at the end of each week. You are literally growing your business and stuff, and you can watch it happen in the fields. Mm-hmm. And yeah, just the gratification of a hard day's work is definitely what was best for him on the farm.
So when did you become the farmer?
I graduated from Ohio State in 2017, and I worked for my dad for a few years, and then we formed a partnership. We ran an LLC for 3 years, and then I officially bought him out in January of 2022. So this is my second season as full owner of the farm.
So how'd you do that? One of the great things now in terms of conversation is how to pass the land on, because government laws are stupid. The way that the death tax is administered and the way taxes on land, generally speaking, don't appeal or apply or don't correctly look at the value of farmland the way that it ought to be looked at as a national treasure, not as a piece of wealth, the dirt that we have to tax until oblivion. How'd you do it? How'd you arrange this in terms of the actual finances? Because a lot of people have these questions, and maybe the way you fixed it is will be an inspiration for people who are trying to figure it out.
Yes. So, you know, most basically, it took a lot of talking with accountants, talking with our lawyers. But I will say, I do not own the ground. I own all of the equipment. I operate all the buildings. I own all the inputs. I cash rent all of my farm ground, my dad being my largest landlord. So the ground itself, that will be a thing that's transferred hopefully centuries from now when him and my mother pass away. And I have siblings, so we all know how it's going to be split equitably among us. And what I've been really lucky with is that both of my siblings have passions that are not farming. They fully support me being the farmer. We are not a ginormous farm, so had they wanted to come back to the farm, we would have needed to be a little bit more creative in terms of maybe having outside jobs, but it does allow me to be full-time on the farm, and I really appreciate their support.
All right, well, I want to dig into that in a moment. We'll pause for a few moments here and come back to our conversation with Zoe Kent, who is the eighth generation of the Kent Farm in North Central Ohio, as we continue this week on the American Family Farmer. Thank you. the hour. This is the American Family Farmer. Doug Steffen here with a lady named Zoe Kent, who just so happens to be in the eighth generation of a family farm. It's Kent Farms in Ohio. It's a great corn area as much as anything else. Let's hear about the history of your farm and what the generations have done with the land over the years.
Yes. So in the 1820s, eight generations ago, I had some family move here. They were some of the first people to live in this small town. I like to joke that we just then never left. But our roots run deep here. Where
thank you for listening to GCN. Visit GCNlive.com today.
USA News Update. Hunter Biden has pleaded not guilty to federal tax charges after a judge rejected a proposed plea deal. Prosecutors and defense lawyers tried to put together a revised plan deal after a disagreement over the original. The original plea deal appeared to fall apart after the judge asked prosecutors if it provided immunity for any future charges related to Hunter Biden's business dealings. After the prosecutor said it did not, defense attorneys said there was no deal. Lawyers had reportedly agreed to a revised deal, but the judge says she was not ready to accept it. Both sides were asked by the judge to file briefs. Authorities in North Carolina say three Marines who were found dead in a vehicle at a gas station died from carbon monoxide poisoning. Autopsies were performed Wednesday after the bodies were discovered over the weekend in Hempstead, not too far from Camp Lejeune. Lance Pry, USA News.
Past the hour now, you're listening to Doug Steffen's Good Day. Let's get back to this special preview of this weekend's American Family Farmer program. It'll help you with ideas for your eating, your meal planning, and if you want to have a garden, we got all the info here. Plus, how to be a successful farmer. That's all part of the American Family Farmer. All right, 34 after the hour now. This is the American Family Farmer. I'm Doug Steffen. Happy to talk to Zoe Kent from Kent Farms in North Central Ohio, Crawford County. She's the eighth generation. So at what point did you decide, Zoe, that it was going to be you? Did you decide by yourself? You have siblings. You were talking about them. You said they weren't really interested. So did you feel it was your responsibility, or did you really want to do this?
Oh, no, I really wanted to do this. I know being eighth generations, people, I get comments all the time, people saying, oh, my goodness, are you worried about, you know, when you transfer it to the ninth generation? But I will say my dad never put the pressure on any of us. He never forced us to work on the farm. It was very much a, hey, if you want to tag along and do some work, that'd be great. But I will say he was really thrilled. I think, you know, I was like in sixth grade when I announced to the family one night at dinner that I was going to be the farmer.
Well, and so what, you announced it, what did everybody else say?
Well, they knew I had a passion. You see, as a little kid, I was always looking to make some money here and there to buy toys and stuff. And so I was always looking for a little job. I was always trying to mow the yard and pick up rocks. And, you know, the first time my dad let me run some tillage equipment and stuff, I was thrilled to get out there. So I don't think it was a surprise to anyone.
Mm-hmm. Well, there are more and more women who are taking the helm. I see it more with dairy around where I am than I do with crops. But why not? What difference does it make? So describe a day in your life for us.
Yep. Well, on the farm, everything is a little bit different. Now, I'll take you back a couple weeks ago. I
helped clean up all of the grain bins, and then I hauled in the last load. I do most of our trucking, and then I have one employee, JD, who works for me. He is an awesome mechanic. He fixes everything I break. I can fix a shear pin here, there, grease something if I need to, but he's the one that's fixing my machinery. I know that's a little stereotypical, you know, saying that I don't know the mechanics, but I like being transparent about that.
Right. You'll learn sooner or later, I think, that's what happens with experience. Much as anything else, you'll learn, and it'll become fun, and you'll be able to say, oh, I just fixed that. That's pretty cool. Yeah, you will. Fine. We all go through that same learning curve, no question about it. So the idea here of doing what you do and how you get the word out, you're not selling locally, right? You're selling into the system, if you will. You're selling into the markets in Chicago or wherever. Is that a fair, when you're doing corn and beans, that's kind of what happens, right?
Yep. No specialty products here.
Mm-hmm. So, but you do, you got a lot of social media presence. I'm looking at that. Is this a podcast, Farm with Zoe, or are you just putting this stuff up on social media?
Yep, I'm on Facebook, Instagram, TikTok, and a little bit of YouTube here and there. And it's just lighthearted, family-friendly videos about farming, slightly educational, but we keep it fun and light around here.
All right. So what does that do? Is this for you or is it for the farm? Because social media, as we all know, like it or not, it's become a huge thing in my business, although I'm in the tube. It's one of the things at my farm, I don't know if you looked at my website or not, but it's very frustrating because we are so dependent on getting the word out using social media rather than the old traditional stuff. I don't think we do a good job. I've never thought we did a good job. I've never liked my website. I've never liked my Facebook presence. I've never liked any of it because I don't think it's tuned in. And maybe I have younger people working with me on the farm. It's so important. It's so necessary. So for you, it looks like it's become a side gig.
Yes, very much. It started out definitely that I just wanted to show people agriculture. Just being that I am a 5'3 blonde girl, most people don't think farmer when they see me at first. And I just kind of, sometimes you have to show people to have them believe you. So I kind of started it out of selfish intentions, you know, just almost to prove myself to others. And I will say that, like, people, I think, take me a little bit more seriously when I post videos of me in a tractor and they see that I'm actually capable of doing the work. I think people make assumptions that I might just manage or something like that. So it started off as kind of just proving to others what I'm doing and educating my friends. I have a lot of friends that don't come from farming backgrounds that get a lot of value out of it. Mm-hmm. But yes, it has definitely spiraled into a business that is really awesome. Just, you know, as I said, I bought my dad out 2 years ago. I'm in massive debt, as anyone can imagine.
Of course.
So it is fortunate that I can make a little bit of money off of this, too.
Yeah. So I'm looking at the Shark Farmer podcast, which is part of what you produce, it would seem. You also have Farm with Zoe, as I said before. The people who will pay attention to you, are they there because it helps? Are they paying attention? Does that help your business? Or is this, as you said, kind of a side thing that makes you feel like you're getting the word out?
Yeah, so I have followers kind of all over the place. I definitely some local people. I do think it probably helps with local people. I do know a lot of people kind of joke that, you know, if they want to see what's happening at our farm, they'll just scroll through social media rather than, you know, stopping by to check up on us.
Right.
But yeah, I would say I kind of keep the focus on just farm education and not too much on just promoting our business. But I think it's helped our business too.
And it is helpful. And one of the reasons that you're here, what I do with this program, I don't know if you'd heard of the program before or not, but I'm here to help family farmers. I'm not here to help Big Ag. I don't have Big Ag advertisers. They loathe me because of my positions on things with right to repair and what Monsanto and Bayer do. Those companies all stay as far away from me as they can. And because I'm thinking that there's a better way to do it, and family farmers seem to be more interested in doing it, quote unquote, the better way or the best way. Maybe we won't all agree on all of it, but we certainly know when you said what you did about, you know, something happening to the tractor. I don't know what kind of tractors you have. I don't drive green tractors. I drive red tractors. But whatever color, it's important that we be able to take care of our own equipment. And I know that has been, with the, and I say this advisedly, with the older crowd, a big deal. Are you involved in that conversation at all?
Not publicly. I will say I farm all green, and there are a lot of frustrations there. We had a store that was really holding out as being owned locally for a very long time, and I know there was a lot of people upset when it was bought out by a larger corporation that provides us with, I'll just say it, pretty poor service, unfortunately.
Right. Well, that was a deliberate thing on the part. John Deere went in with another, they sort of created another company to buy back all their dealerships so they can control everything. Here in the Northeast, there's a company that has done it all over New York, New England, New Jersey, and I think there are three or four companies that basically are subsets of John Deere that are doing exactly what you just said. They're not, and it seems like they think they can control everything, and the government's working against them. The people that have the stuff are sick of the stuff that is reality in dealing with them, as you were just suggesting. You can't get service from them. And so anyway, I don't want to make this about John Deere, but I do want to make it a way to help people. So when that happens, you don't get service, what do you do?
No, I'm just, I don't know. I guess I don't have much to say there because we're kind of, I don't know. We're in an in-between transition period where we're figuring out what's going to work best for our farm.
I get it. Okay, that's fair enough. Listen, it is, but I'll tell you, a lot of people that are in your place, and that's why, as I say, this program is here to help the family farmer, they are, it's a concern. It's a big problem, frankly.
Yep, I definitely know there's a lot of frustration there.
Yep, for sure. All right, we pause for a moment. Zoe Kent is here. Weight loss stories galore at calotren.com or toploss.com, C-A-L-O-T-R-E-N, Calotren. Is the place to go, is the product to use when you are interested in losing weight and keeping it off. That's the important part of this. As they celebrate their 27th anniversary, they have a lot of specials, Christmas and July things that will help you lose weight. The story here, the success, is all because of its natural components. It has no drugs, there's no stimulants. It's all about things that are good for you. Collagen proteins, proteins, the digestive enzymes, aloe vera, all of that stuff becomes the important strength behind your success. So if you want to find out what the secret to their success is, just check out the website, toploss.com, and see all of the success stories, hundreds, hundreds, thousands of them, in fact. Get your own counselor, have them help you through the plan that you are going to stick with, thanks to the help from college, from Calitrim. Help yourself to the information, toploss.com. Doug Steffen recommends it highly. Happy to have back in the fold Elizabeth Miller, who's here from Calitrin. How is it possible that 86% of the people who take Calitrin find success?
Well, I think that, you know, the reason Calitrin has such a huge success rate is because it's working with your body. It's not a quick fix fad product. It's not a drug. It's not a stimulant. It doesn't have anything negative in it at all. It works with your body to rebuild lean muscle tissue. So it revs up your metabolism naturally. So we're just using using your body's tools and helping your body's functions to burn off those fats and sugars more efficiently.
So we're in the beginning of the new year. What do we have for special deals?
Right now, we've got discounts on all kinds of packages on here. If you go to toploss.com, you're going to see that there. And also, the more you buy, the more you save. It's at toploss.com. And then you can also use the promo code Doug, D-O-U-G, for free shipping on all orders of Calgen on there.
Toploss.com. Thanks to Elizabeth Miller.
I'd like to introduce you to our new sponsor, Get the Tea. Get the Tea carries all natural, non-GMO organic teas and supplements made in the USA. Get the Tea's ingredients are the purest available. My favorite is Life Change Tea. Life Change Tea is a gentle daily cleanse containing 12 herbs that when combined really keep things moving. I drink it every day and my energy has never been better. I'm feeling great. Life Change Tea comes in three delicious flavors, natural, peppermint, and pomegranate. It's an easy and delicious way to keep your digestion on track. And for those on the go, try D365. D365 is Life Change Tea in a capsule. Drink the tea or take D365 capsules and keep your digestion running smoothly. Go to GetTheTea.com and enter discount code USA to get 10% off any size order. That's GetTheTea.com, discount code USA for 10% off your order.
Back with Zoe Kent here from this wonderful family experience that she's having. So I noticed that you're touting you're by yourself, although you do make mention of your boyfriend. How does the boyfriend work into the farm, or not at all?
Yes, so he is actually my fiancé as of last
week. Oh, congratulations. Good, congratulations. Good for you.
Yeah, thank you. We've been together 7 years. He moved up to the farm 3 years ago, and he has a full-time job. He is a UX designer, and he's really good at what he does. That being said, he's done a little work here and there. He knows how to operate the machinery. He is great at, he's a drone. He'll fly for us so we can get imaging on some of our farms. And so I know it's not maybe the stereotypical, you know, two people working together day in, day out, but it is what works for us.
But when, exactly. Why does it have to be typical? Why can't it be just what it is? You know, you are doing it and you want to do it. You love doing it. So how about we leave it at that?
Yep, exactly.
Yeah, I think that's kind of cool, actually. How do you find the markets? What do you think is going to happen in these two markets this year?
Oh, man, marketing is my least favorite part of the job. I don't know. I'm thinking the markets look pretty good right now. I should not get greedy and try to wait mm-hmm. them out, but yeah, we'll see. Yeah. We'll see.
Well, I think you're to be congratulated. It looks like you're having fun, and that's an important part of life no matter what. So keep up the good work, and congratulations again to you and your family for figuring it out. Zoe Kent here with some inspiration for all of us from her family farm in north central Ohio near Bucyrus. Thanks, Zoe. Good luck.
Great. Thank you.
We'll be right back.
we're past the hour now. You're listening to Doug Steffens. Good day. Let's get back to this special preview of this weekend's American Family Farmer program. It'll help you with ideas for your eating, your meal planning, and if you want to have a garden, we got all the info here. Plus, how to be a successful farmer. That's all part of the American Family Farmer. All right, 34 after the hour now. This is the American Family Farmer. I'm Doug Steffens. Happy to talk to Zoe Kent from Kent Farms in North Central Ohio, Crawford County. She's the eighth generation. So at what point did you decide, Zoe, that it was going to be you? Did you decide by yourself? You have siblings. You were talking about them. You said they weren't really interested. So did you feel it was your responsibility, or did you really want to do this?
Oh, no, I really wanted to do this. I know being eighth generations, people, I get comments all the time, people saying, oh, my goodness, are you worried about, you know, when you transfer it to the ninth generation? But I will say my dad never put the pressure on any of us. He never forced us to work on the farm. It was very much a, hey, if you want to tag along and do some work, that'd be great. But I will say he was really thrilled. I think, you know, I was like in sixth grade when I announced to the family one night at dinner that I was going to be the farmer.
Mm-hmm. Well, and so what, you announced it, what did everybody else say?
Well, they knew I had a passion. You see, as a little kid, I was always looking to make some money here and there to buy toys and stuff. And so I was always looking for a little job. I was always trying to mow the yard and pick up rocks. And, you know, the first time my dad let me run some tillage equipment and stuff, I was thrilled to get out there. So I don't think it was a surprise to anyone.
Mm-hmm. Well, there are more and more women who are taking the helm. I see it more with dairy around where I am than I do with crops. But why not? What difference does it make? So describe a day in your life for us.
Yep. Well, on the farm, everything is a little bit different. Now, I'll take you back a couple weeks ago. I helped clean up all of the grain bins, and then I hauled in the last load. I do most of our trucking, and then I have one employee, JD, who works for me. He is an awesome mechanic. He fixes everything I break. I can fix a shear pin here or there, grease something if I need to, but he's the one that's fixing my machinery. I know that's a little stereotypical, you know, saying that
okay.
I don't know the mechanics, but I like being transparent about that.
Right. You'll learn sooner or later, I think, that's what happens with experience. Much as anything else, you'll learn, and it'll become fun, and you'll be able to say, oh, I just fixed that. That's pretty cool. Yeah, you will. You'll find. We all go through that same learning curve, no question about it. So the idea here of doing what you do and how you get the word out, you're not selling locally, right? You're selling into the system, if you will. You're selling into the markets in Chicago or wherever. Is that fair? When you're doing corn and beans, that's kind of what happens, right?
Yep. No specialty products here.
Mm-hmm. So, but you do, you got a lot of social media presence. I'm looking at that. Is this a podcast, Farm with Zoe? Or are you just putting this stuff up on social? Farmer program. This portion of the program, this section, I tend not to do reporting, but to do some observing, if you will. And so I'm going to comment on what's referred to as the OFF Act, the OFF Act. There have been a lot of people in the beef industry. This industry obviously starts with cattle raised on farms all across the country. And the animals get delivered to a packing plant, and then it gets distributed, if you will, to markets, big and small. a lot of cattle pricing has been affected by what I would refer to as government interference, frankly. You ought to be able to get what you... It's the same as the dairy industry. The same kind of stuff is going on here. And so the big ag companies say it's great. The cattle markets are great. We're getting paid a lot for our cattle. And that's the big guys. And so they tell Congress, they don't have to do anything. We're fine. The government shouldn't get involved in the cattle markets because they don't want the government involved in their industry. But there's an exception to the request, if you will, for no government involvement. It's called the Mandatory Beef Checkoff Program. And again, there's the same thing goes on in dairy, same thing goes on in pork. Apparently, now their cattle farmers are going to have to pay $80 million this year through the $1 a head tax collected when they sell their cattle. Why? You don't think people know about beef? You don't think people know what the product is about? This is more or less, as far as I can see, a government mandated tax. So you don't want the government to be involved in the cattle industry, but now they are by requiring this $1 tax, the checkoff program. That is a federal program. So over time, you start wondering, where does all that money go? $80 million a year. Do you see that much in advertising? The big guys or the people that are responsible for collecting this say they are helping to sell the product. Well, what's really going on is they're helping corporate fast food restaurants like Wendy's and McDonald's and Burger King to sell their product. That's where the money is going. And this, so it's free advertising, in essence, for Wendy's and for the other outfits I just mentioned. As far as I can tell, I'm looking through this trying to figure it out, and that's what I carry away from understanding that the money isn't going to promote the beef itself from the farm to through the process to its end user. It's being used to help the companies who are selling the beef as a consumer item. I.e. a hamburger joint, a big national hamburger chain like Wendy's. I keep mentioning the obvious ones, McDonald's. And so why is this money going to them to help them instead of to the farmers who are raising the beef? Remember the old Clara Pella, where's the beef? Remember that? Well, that's kind of what I'm wondering here when it comes to this money from the checkoff program. It is not transparent where the money is going, and there are now more organizations that are asking Congress to introduce legislation to make the checkoff program more transparent and more accountable to the farmers. See, I don't think it should be there. I think it should be stopped. I don't think there should be a dairy checkoff. I don't think there should be a pork checkoff. I don't think there should be a beef checkoff. Because this is what happens with all of them. The dairy checkoff goes to promote Suiza and all of their factory processing plants around the country and the end result of buying milk rather than helping the farmers. The money is coming out of the pocket of the farmer. They don't need help in selling milk. They don't need help in selling beef. What they need is support to do it the right way and get the right price for what they're doing. Doesn't make any difference what's being grown. We're not, as farmers, getting paid what we're supposed to be paid. Period. End of story. And so these dummies take, or we're maybe the dummies because we let them do it through the legislative process. Every single family farmer should go to his or her legislator and should work to get this thing killed. There are a lot of senators from all around the country who are trying to get some accountability here to start changing the checkoff program. You might check with your representative, your senator, and tell them you support the so-called OFF Act. That's my point of view. Doug Steffen here on this week's American Family Farmer at 59 past the hour.
This program was produced at Bob K. Sound and Recording. Please visit bobksound.com. We'll be right back.
Tom here on the American Family Farmer program. This portion of the program, this section, I tend not to do reporting, but to do some observing, if you will. And so I'm going to comment on what's referred to as the OFF Act, the OFF Act. There have been a lot of people in the beef industry. This industry obviously starts with cattle raised on farms all across the country, and the animals get delivered to a packing plant, and then it gets sent, distributed, if you will, to markets, big and small. A lot of cattle pricing has been affected by what I would refer to as government interference, frankly. You ought to be able to get what you... It's the same as the dairy industry. The same kind of stuff is going on here. And so the big ag companies say it's great. The cattle markets are great. We're getting paid a lot for our cattle. And that's the big guys. And so they tell Congress, they don't have to do anything. We're fine. The government shouldn't get involved in the cattle markets because they don't want the government involved in their industry. But there's an exception to the request, if you will, for no government involvement. It's called the Mandatory Beef Checkoff Program. And again, it's there's the same thing goes on in dairy, same thing goes on in pork. Apparently, their cattle farmers are going to have to pay $80 million this year through the $1 a head tax collected when they sell their cattle. Why? You don't think people know about beef? You don't think people know what the product is about? This is more or less, as far as I can see, a government-mandated tax. So you don't want the government to be involved in the cattle industry, but now they are.
Tired of the financial stress? Were you misled by the salesperson? Don't or can't use your timeshare anymore? If any of these apply to you, then you may qualify for timeshare cancellation and get the relief you need now. Timeshare Defense Attorneys is the number one affordable fixed-fee legal solution in the country, with an A+ Better Business Bureau rating. That's certainly better than my grades. They even offer a 100% client satisfaction guarantee. Let one of their experienced lawyers evaluate your case and explain the process. If they take you as a client, they'll work on your case until it's resolved in your favor, guaranteed. Expect great service and a close working relationship with your lawyer, keeping you informed every step of the way, protecting your rights, interests, and even your credit. It's that simple. Even a kid like me can understand it. The consultation is free. Call today.
800-875-1853. 800-875-1853. That's 800-875-1853.